There was this woman, a very proud mother, proud of her sons, thinking that God's grace was cheap, very easy to obtain. So our scripture reading this morning deals with this situation of a woman claiming cheap grace from God. And we'll make the cheap grace a bit clearer later on. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. It was about that time that the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. "What do you want?" Jesus asked. She said, "Give your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded the highest places of honor in your kingdom, one at your right hand and one at your left hand." Jesus responded, "You have no idea what you're asking." And he said to James and John, "Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said, "Sure, why not?" Jesus said, "Come to think of it, you are going to drink my cup. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. My Father is taking care of that." And when the 10 others heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. So Jesus got them together to settle things down. And he said, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve and not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage." Here ends our scripture reading. May we sense God's presence in our midst this morning. Brother, sister in Christ, it seems as if human greatness always has its price. Human greatness never comes free. Sammy Davis, the well-known American entertainer, dancer, and singer of a previous decade, was known for many things. And some of you may not know, but amongst others, the fact was that he was a convert to Judaism. And others may remember that he also lost one eye in a car wreck. So one day he was playing golf with a friend who asked, "So Sammy, what's your handicap?" Sammy answered, "Handicap, man? What are you talking about? I'm a one-eyed African-American Jew. What more do I need?" One of the most influential philosophers in Western history was Socrates. Socrates, the Greek who lived and eventually died in Athens. And we also know about Socrates that under his influence was the brilliant Plato, chose to become a philosopher rather than a statesman because of the inspiration of Socrates. So Plato, much later, is credited with providing much of the foundation for the development of our Western philosophy. Then came the time that Socrates was accused by three Athenians of refusing to recognize the gods proclaimed by the state. And he was also accused of corrupting the youth with his teachings. And after hearing the arguments of both Socrates and his accusers, the jury, consisting of 500 jurors, was asked to vote on his guilt. Well, Socrates was found guilty by a vote of 280 to 220. And the philosopher was then taken to the nearby jail where his sentence would be carried out. Athenian law prescribed death by drinking a cup of poison hemlock. So Socrates would be his own executioner. And the forced suicide of Socrates took place in the year 399 before Christ. Amazing history. Worth reading. But you know what? It was this never forgotten drinking of the cup. That drinking of a cup got a far more general meaning. Drinking the cup became a way of referring to hardship, to pain, and to death. So in today's scripture, the followers of Jesus were competing and talking about being honored in God's kingdom. And Jesus gave a sobering response. He told them, "You know what? You have no idea what you're asking." And then he asked James and John, "Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" You see, Jesus was reminding them that the greatness they were seeking was not all that easy to come by. We know that when the late Pope John Paul II passed away, he received praise and admiration coming from across the world. However, in retrospect, the greatest things said about this remarkable man were really not references to earthly power and glory, but that his life was really a litany, a continued litany of suffering and pain, dramatically illustrated by a difficult life earlier on in Poland and later being gunned down, followed by years of painful and failing death. You know what? This Pope had his own bitter cup to drink. He will remember that his suffering became his heritage, his proud, his beautiful heritage. Greatness always has its price. So Jesus asked his ambitious disciples, "Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" Let's come to our time. It's amazing how many people adopt the Christian faith as their own with the thought that it really won't cost them anything at all. Just become a Christian, call the 800 number, send us a lot of money, and you will be happy, wholesome for the rest of your life. Friends, Jesus indeed drank a cup. He drank the bitter cup of the cross. And the price that he paid was ultimate. It was complete and it was final. So if we think that we can achieve greatness in the kingdom of God with only a token commitment, we are sadly mistaken. We do not understand what the Christian faith is all about, and we fail ourselves and God miserably. There's a history to this. During the Middle Ages in Europe, it was common for devout Christians to pray for the marks of Jesus, referred to as the stigmata. The stigmata would appear on their hands and their feet. And that was seen as a sign of deep spirituality. So it often happened that they would walk through the streets and even trying to hurt themselves to prove to the people how deeply spiritual they really are. So many monks in those days would pray that those marks would appear, somehow miraculously appear on their bodies, so that they can wear it as a badge of honor and closeness to God. And it is said that then one certain monk had a vision of Christ with another mark on his body. And that mark was a bruise on his shoulder. And that bruise came from carrying his cross. And suddenly that monk realized that this was the mark that really counted. So, in the language of our time, how many of us have bruises from carrying the weight of Christ's cross on our shoulders in a modern, totally changed world? It is acceptable, even admirable, to aspire to greatness. We do want to live close to God. Yeah, we do want to drink from the cup. But we are reminded that greatness always also has a price. So today, as we reach for the tokens of sacrifice, love, and forgiveness, we once again hear this age-old question challenging us from the pages of Scripture, coming from the lips of Jesus long ago. Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink? You know, that's the problem with preaching. I couldn't dare asking you this question without first asking it from myself. Am I able and willing to still drink from his cup? It is a cup of self-giving love. Often it's a cup of self-denial. Often it's a cup of sacrifice and service to the world. So he who would be greatest among you, said the Master, how do you achieve that? He must be willing to be a servant of all. Oh God, make us willing. In this more and more secular society, to serve you, to follow you above all. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.